Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On TV, however, oh, Disney. Disney?
Yeah.
It is Disney.
Well, yes.
Disney Plus, I believe they dropped today.
Two.
The first two episodes dropped today. Did you watch all three?
I have watched all three.
Okay, so we've watched all three. We're not going to spoil anything. So let me do the lead into this. Back in the 1990s, there was a cartoon called X-Men that everyone loved, apparently. In 1997, I was 8 or 9 years into my Air Force career, mostly working nights, and this was in the days before streaming and DVR. I did not watch X-Men. I didn't have time. I was sleeping or working. I know who the X-Men are. Thanks. Don't get upset. I read the comic books. I watched the movies when they came out. But I didn't watch the animated series. So I'm not nearly as invested in this series as some people online are. There are people out there that are super invested in this, which means their response is going to be one of two things. It's either the greatest thing since Betty White, or it's complete dog shit. And the people that are invested, there's not going to be any agnostics in this. I, like a lot of shows, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I have to look at what this series does. I like the X-Men, so it's not like I hate the characters that I'm going to be dealing with. So that's a step in the right direction. Did you watch this?
Yeah, I did.
Back in the day? So you are well, on a scale of 1 to 10, then, how invested are you in X-Men 97?
Well, how invested? I think, you know what, I think that those of us who grew up with comic books always kind of understood that there were going to be different versions of the characters.
Yes.
And some of them would be more of what we wanted them to be, and others would be, you know, I mean, there's, anyway, essentially, I think I'm far more open to the idea of different versions of Wolverine than I am to of different versions of Indiana Jones or, you know, somebody else.
Right.
Like that. Luke Skywalker or you know, just the way that you kind of, so I always enjoyed it. I don't think that it's not how I would have made it. But I felt like it was fun. And you know, it knew its fan base. And so it was quite often, you know, giving the fans what they wanted because it was made by fans and loved by fans. You know, I mean, it was one of those things where there was fan service, but that's because you had people making them who desperately wanted to see cartoons about these stories as well.
Are you trying to say they were creating a product to cater to the fans of the product?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Because that's revolutionary.
I know, but it's because they, but also not in an insincere corporate sort of way.
Right.
In the sort of idea of, I can't believe they're letting us do this. Let's do this,
right?
You know, that sort of attitude, and it does have its own tone. They did revive. They did a comic book series that was based on, the comics or the animated show as well. That was you know, it's one of those meta things where it's like, okay, so we had this animated film that was
based on comic books that got its own comic book.
This comic book that's inspired by the thing that was inspired by comic. Anyway, you know, it's not my, well, I don't, you know, I'd have to go back and give it a hard watch. I was going to say it's not my favorite Magneto. It's not my favorite, but you know what? They're not bad.
From the original series.
Correct.
Okay. So, so let's come forward a second, because I need you to answer me some questions then.
Okay.
About this new one, because I said I didn't watch the originals. All I know about the originals is that that was the version of Professor X that everyone wanted to show up in Multiverse of Madness in his yellow floaty wheelchair, and that's the version they got. Yeah. So everyone was happy about that. That's what I know. So let me ask you a question. Did Magneto look like that in the original series?
Pretty much.
Really? They gave him like gray Fabio hair.
Yeah, I mean the outfit and whatever. Yeah, as far as like, yeah.
Like I said, the costumes are costumes. And I don't have a problem with that. But I looked at him, I go, man, that is not the Magneto I remember. So I was like, I didn't know if they updated that look or if that was how he looked back in the day. Well, so just looking at it, it feels like I'm watching a '90s cartoon.
Exactly.
100%. I don't have a problem with that at all. Some modern animation I don't like. Some of it I do like that looks nothing like the stuff I liked as a kid. But that doesn't mean I don't still like the stuff that I liked as a kid. It means there's something about the style that appeals to me. Three episodes into X-Men 97. I don't know if I need to keep watching it. I don't know why I feel that way. Specifically. But I was listening to it and I was like, were all old cartoons this chunkily written? Because the dialogue, it doesn't even feel comic booky. I don't even know how to categorize the writing in this, but it is just so, it's like someone's trying to, Some like it's written by committee, and one person on that committee likes near Shakespearean dialogue, and other people like 80s high school comedy dialogue, and some people like Nolan-esque Batman dialogue. So it's all over the map for me. And
it depends on the character. Too,
and I know all these characters, which is just nuts. So that's weird. It's not, you know, the style of talking. And to be fair, I actually hate Rogue and Gambit's voice actors. I don't know who they are, but I hate those voices. They drove me nuts for three episodes. And I love Rogue and Gambit as characters.
Well,
I do.
Yes. It's the playing up of the southernness.
Yeah,
everything is pushed to such a, you know, when you read them, the voice in your head probably isn't that southern.
No,
or when the versions that we've seen in movies and other things, it isn't quite to that extreme. But do remember, this was the '90s.
Yeah.
It was the mid to late 90s. Excess, it was in art, was, I mean, it was kind of like the stock market of the late 80s. And, you know, anything goes.
Right.
I think your criticisms are accurate. And I think they always were accurate. but I think that maybe that was part of the fun of it. That it took itself just seriously enough to not be a parody, but it also was kind of this silly cartoon, you know? I mean, it definitely had Magneto comes in and says the smart stuff in this version.
Right.
Xavier is no longer with us, which is one of the major things they're kind of trying to work through in this.
Mm-hmm.
So So yeah, Magneto comes in and says the smart stuff. Inevitably, you know, Scott is going to be a question his leading ability, because he's never really been a natural leader and he has no confidence when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, and it's the Jean Grey, and this is post. And I think maybe part of the problem, too, is it is written to a degree with the expectation that you watched the original.
See,
or that you're at least familiar enough with X-Men.
Yeah.
Know that when they reference, you know, the Phoenix power or whatever.
Right. And
you know what those are.
Right. And even if you watch the movies, you should be able to get most of those story beats. I don't think I missed any of those story beats and references. But there's a lot either, of crap crammed into these three episodes.
There's a lot of crap crammed into all the episodes of these things. You know, and part of it is how many characters can you squeeze into a half-hour cartoon? And how many plot? Because, you know, the thing about X-Men was that they were always misfits who had a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
The baggage that they were carrying was almost as interesting as whatever hero or, you know, whatever, you know. They weren't traditional superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, they were damaged goods who were doing the best that they could with what they had and felt like no one wanted them, but they, you know, were going to go ahead and try to save the world anyway. In a more perfect world, these are hour episodes and they cover the same amount of stuff.
Right.
In that hour that they actually are covering in the half hour.
Right.
And do I think that would work better? Yeah, probably. That would give you more time to explore some of the individual characters, but this isn't really about the individual characters. This is about, as the title says, it's about the X-Men, and get a little bit of, you know, Storm has a thing in this one. Obviously, Jean has something in this one. It's not very Wolverine-centered at all.
Yeah.
At this point, so you kind of have to pick and choose who's going to be at the center of the action out of our whole deck of cards, and that's not easy. And
but I feel they tried to do everybody, and it's like pick two for this episode and have everyone support them.
They never do that,
though. No, but they need to. And now, having said all of that about this, about the things I don't like, I don't dislike the show. I am not going to be passionate about it.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
So
I don't know. And I was never like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. I think, you know, we were. It was someone's interpretation of something that I loved.
Right.
It wasn't mine, but it was, you know, and I felt this way about most of the X-Men films and whatnot. I would have made things radically different, because the way I connected with X-Men was probably different than the way lots of people connected with X-Men. But, you know, that doesn't mean that your version of X-Men is worse than, you know, any other. You know, for me, I like Rogue without Gambit at all. You know, I whatever, you know, anyway, but, there's just certain lineups that you prefer better and certain characters you've kind of like got in the way of things. And everyone's going to disagree on what those characters were. And when you're the X-Men, you're probably going to have a list of 100 X-Men to go through anyway. So,
yeah, well, in that way, the X-Men are a lot like the Avengers.
Yeah,
there's a pool of characters that they draw to build any one version.
Yeah.
And the X-Men have way more. As many as the Avengers have, the X-Men have way more to draw on.
Well, and they, you know, and they've, that's to a certain extent why they have all the spinoffs. The, you know, the X-Force and the whatever.
X-Force,
you know,
X-Factor, just, New Mutants. Again, still a movie that I enjoyed, by the way. For what it was. The X-Men has a lot more room to grow.
But yes, I do think if you're looking for something with a lot of depth, you've come to the wrong place.
Yeah. Well, not even, I don't even know. Like I said, I don't know why I'm not. It's a cartoon. I can wrap my head around it. And it's the X-Men. Sure. Enjoy the heck out of the X-Men. You know, it's, but there's just, for some reason, I'm just like, I'm not excited. But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us, you know, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast, same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you watch, there was a couple seasons of the Wolverine animated series.
Oh, really?
I think you would prefer that.
Oh, maybe I'll have to check out a couple episodes of that, if I can find it.
And I think that kind of got shelved because it came into when Marvel sold to Disney, and a lot of just the behind the scenes stuff. And
right.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't know. But there's two or three seasons of Wolverine that were, I think, more of the more, you know, or what. Serious, or I don't know what, how to, you know.
I don't know. I'll watch them and report back and see if I can figure out what the difference is, aside from the fact that it's probably darker.
It's darker, and it's also, I think they've narrowed the field.
Right.
It does have a lot of other characters in it as well, but they, you know, when you say it's a Wolverine series, we know who the center of that's going to be.
Yeah.
When you say it's an X-Men series, the first question is,
which X-Men?
What era? Yeah, which version? And then, you know.
Although,
and then it's another million things from there.
But. Yeah, let me say one thing. They have the character Morph in here, which,
yeah.
Other garbage aside, I was interested to see that when he was changing through a bunch of forms, were changing through a bunch of forms, the angel that they hit on was Archangel.
Yeah.
From Apocalypse. And I was like, oh, I know that. But it was a really quick cycling through of different X-Men that Morph was going through, and that popped up, and I was like, ooh!
And if you don't quite understand what he's doing, you might be like, how in the world, where did Colossus come from? What in the world?
Yeah, Morph, if you come in, because Morph isn't, he's not a household name. But if you know the character, then it makes sense. And they kind of explain it, but then there's that where there's just like, because Morph turns into Colossus, Colossus's sister, Ilyana, Archangel. And then obviously he messes with the X-Men we have, and he duplicates them a couple times just to mess with other ones. So it was a nice smattering that Morph went through, which was kind of cool.
Can I say, I don't think you can have, I would never put Morph in anything that I created.
No, it could be a cop out character because it's not, it's not just a shape shift. It's a power lift.
Yeah. And it's, cause it's not like,
Mystique
Exactly.
Who looks different, but doesn't get any of the powers. Morph gets it all, and that right there, that's an overpowered character. That is literally an overpowered character. That's an X-Men team in one character. And so that's
the irony. You know, the irony of that being really doesn't play that big of a role.
No. It's kind of a I think it's a poor character choice given what those powers are and how they can be utilized, because any fight is over.
He's a gimmick.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so. It is. So it's one of those. It's a weird character choice, and again, all the other garbage about Morph aside, that just, like I said, it was cool to see which heroes Morph chose.
Sure.
In some of those scenes, but in and of itself, it feels wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
So
I don't know. I think I knew what I was getting into.
Right.
And I think that you also have to remember that when this cartoon came out, we didn't have X-Men movies.
Right.
So seeing a lot of this, we were seeing a lot of these things from the comics, you know, for the first time. And yeah, it's animated, but that's still different than the comic.
You know,
that's different than you know, it moves or whatever, however you want to.
Yeah, right. You
know, it was different. And then when we started, and I think when we start getting live action, if you're jumping in now, you're probably going to prefer the live action because it's a little more magical to certain, you know, it's
right. You expect certain things in a cartoon that seem more amazing in quote unquote real life, live action,
the special effects or the whatever, you know, whatever it is.
It's a person doing a thing,
whatever it is. Yes,
yeah,
exactly. There's an actor doing it rather than, oh, they drew that.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you have to remember that. And I think, you know, this came out, you know, when I don't even know if any of us expected really there ever to be an X-Men franchise.
Live action film?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think there was.
I mean, it was sort of like, well, this is the best we're going to get because no one's going to, you know, I mean, the landscape was so radically different.
Yeah.
And the irony, of course, being is when X-Men did come around, it was one of the films that opened the floodgates to everything that we have going on. You know, or at the height of comic book mania, because it was one of the films that had a surprisingly good audience that told you know, the Hollywood filmmakers that, oh, well, maybe there's something we should be exploring.
Turns out there's a thing here.
Yeah, there's a thing. We didn't think there was a thing, but we, you know, we got this Spider-Man guy making movies and people love it. We got these X-Men people. You know, look at those X-Men. They're crazy. I mean, they got some black lady running around with the guy who has claws. And I mean, there's
who wouldn't like
so
that?
Much there's so much diversity going on here that I don't know how I can handle that. Right. No one's going to like that.
I know, right?
Oh, you know, need to cater to where's the anyway.
I'm waiting for Canada to sublet Alpha Flight and make an Alpha Flight movie.
I'm down with that. I would love an Excalibur movie.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started. Of course, there's the perpetual rumor of Henry Cavill becoming Captain Britain.
Yeah.
Which then of course, if we go with, you know, Rachel Summers, we've got the timeline action going and we've already established another X-Men timeline at the end of Marvel's.
Yeah.
So it's not. And again, my argument is if Marvel wanted to reboot the MCU, just reboot it in that X-Men universe.
Yeah.
That we had at the end of the Marvels, and all their problems are solved.
Yeah, because it is
it is what it is, because it's another dimension. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, anyway, the perpetual Captain Britain Henry Cavill rumor, I'm down with that. I am down with Captain Britain, Phoenix, Nightcrawler, and what's her name, Captain Britain's sidekick, girlfriend, the little nymph elf girl whose name escapes me for the moment, but I'm down with the original Excalibur. I would totally give me a one-off and then just let those characters out in the universe.
And I'm a big Nightcrawler fan.
Who isn't? He's such a great character.
Love, I would love them to have him to do a Nightcrawler film where it's he's the swashbuckling pirate version.
Yes.
Running around doing an Errol Finn sort of.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have, you know, like it doesn't have to be anything more than an Errol Finn type.
Yep.
Film with this blue guy with a tail running around doing the things instead of a white guy with a funny facial hair.
Yep.
But anyway. There's a lot of, and I think that's one thing that a lot of people like about X-Men in general is there's so many possibilities because there are so many characters and they filtered through characters all the time that some, you know, have been more popular than others. Some have been completely misfires and you don't see them after, you know, five or six comics or yep. whatnot. But yeah, so I don't think any of your criticisms of X-Men 97 are inaccurate. I just think that's what it was, and that they did it again.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, like I said, but then to be fair, I think the diehards—they're either going to be on a scale of 1 to 10, they're going to be either 1, which is enthusiastically hateful, or they're going to be 10, enthusiastically excited. And there's not going to be any 4, 5, 6s in the people that were like chomping at the bit for this thing to come out.
Yeah, and you know, that's funny because I intended to go back and watch all of the old ones before I watched this.
Right.
And it was kind of always there, and it was always, and I would pull it up occasionally and get distracted and go, you know. So, I mean, I liked it.
Yeah.
But I was never one of those. That wasn't my introduction to X-Men. That was an introduction to them for a lot of people.
Right.
And that also, you know, the way they feel about that particular series is because that's where they first discovered.
You tend to, there's a reason Tom Baker is most people's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because,
unless you don't know who Tom Baker is, and then it's probably one of the new guys.
Then it's Tennant.
Tennant.
There's two doctors that prefer, if you say Doctor Who, they're either like, oh, Tom Baker, or they're like, oh, David Tennant. So yeah, that's it. But yeah, normally it's your first. It's the one you remember. It's the one that you baseline everything off of.
It's what you fell in love with.
Yeah.
And then everything else is, you know, judged by.
It either completely disrespects or it really does advance the character. That's the, nobody's ever apathetic again. But yeah, but always set your baseline. Okay. Set your baseline appreciation for the character, universe, whatever. But the first is how that works. So interesting.
Anyway, so I think the moral of this story is, if you like the animated series when it was on, I think you'll like this. If this is the first time you're seeing the animated series, I don't know that it's going to be for you, because I don't know that it's the X-Men that you want.
Right. And like I said, I don't dislike it. So, I mean, I would have to try to hate this. Like I said, but it's not going to be must-see viewing. For me, yeah, if I'm bored, I might click it on and go, oh, I've only got 2 episodes to catch up on. Maybe I'll catch up on it. But it's not going to be like, oh, the new episode drops today.
It is different than some of the Batman animated series that felt a little more, but essential.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite a few of the Batman animated series are kind of the cream of the crop as far as the
visual. I've heard it, and I wish I had the time to go watch those.
Yeah.
Because I've heard those are fantastic.
Yeah, those. But again, it has the benefit of being about Batman rather than X-Men, which is
right.
A great group of people.
Yeah.
Which is problematic in its, you know, on its own, and it always has sort of been. Which is why so many of the X-Men characters ended up getting spin-offs, because there were stories that couldn't be told in the confines of an X-Men comic.
Yep.
We had to, you know, do a limited series for a bunch of different characters who maybe didn't, in some people's mind, deserve limited series. But
sometimes that's the best way to handle a character. But yeah, it's now you get a 4 or 6 episode series on Disney Plus, which probably should be 8 or 10 episodes or a 95 minute movie. So they haven't figured that part out in the live action. We'll figure that out. Correct. So yeah, so that was the third thing that came out this week. We've got some other stuff coming out. It's actually kind of a slow 2 weeks for us in terms of themes.
And then it cranks up again.
And then it cranks up again. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But right now, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in theaters, which is awesome. Actually, Monday, I think I'm going to go see Immaculate. Mm-hmm. And then because I can squeeze that in right before AMC's Mystery Monday. So I'm gonna double feature Monday and see. So I'm gonna get one horror movie, in Immaculate, which I assume is a horror movie because it feels like a horror movie, and then a mystery horror movie that I don't know what is yet. So I'll let you know what it is and what I thought of it because it's a movie that's not out yet. That's all I know, and it's supposedly an hour and 45 minutes long. So we'll see what it is, how that goes. But yeah, lots of good stuff in theaters right now. So go see one. That's what I'm going to tell you. Sure. Say what?
That was good. No, great. Yeah, just agreeing.
Sure. Right. Okay. So don't forget to like us, follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast, at Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. You'll find us wherever we're at. Just go to the website, vsmoviepodcast.com. You'll find us all there. And until we talk to you again, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan. And we will talk to everyone later. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.